Good morning once again. We'll continue our studies from the book of Colossians. And today I will be talking through Colossians 26 and 27. The title is Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. Indeed, you can see that I was confused about the title, so I just chose the verse. And I said, okay, at least everybody can relate. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. But I'm going to read from verse 24. So you can have a bit of the context of what's happening here. Title again is Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. But trust me, it's beyond just that topic, that word. From 24, the apostle said, I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saint. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Indeed, we've been going through this book, and God has been helping us to see the progression. The apostle did not plant this church himself. He had one of his perhaps converts, or one of his men, Epaphras, that labored here. And we I've gone through a bit of how he's trying to correct a few things in the church, and he did a good job in trying to raise the Lord in every area of the life of the church at Colossae. From verse 24, he started to talk about himself, and that's why I read that verse 24. Because there's so much to learn or to be learned from what the apostle did, and I did bring two sermons around 24 to 25. Those who will make known the mysteries of God are of a particular nature or personality. The apostle said they must be people who are ready to fill up in their flesh the afflictions of Christ. And we've explained what that means. They are those who are ready to be small, to be lowly people. People who are earthen vessels. Stewards. For those who will let the whole world know about this mystery that the Gentiles want to be told, the mysteries of God that they will be told to the Gentiles, these people must be of a particular character. They are like earthen vessels that bear treasures. Vessels that are humble. Vessels that are easily replaceable. Servants, lowest servants in the kingdom. And these are the words that the apostle used when he was describing himself in verse 24 and 25 of Colossians 1. Indeed, even his name suggests the same. His name, Paul, actually means small, which further tells you how he picked up a name after, or perhaps it's been his name all this while, but chose to push that name out, sort of using Jewish name, which is Saul. And so this mystery that we talk about today is big in the sense that God is jealous about the kind of people he will use to spread the gospel. But today, I am not about that, but about the mystery itself. What is a mystery? Because we see in verse 26 and 27 that there's a mystery, a glorious mystery that God wants to reveal to the Gentiles. The word mystery means secret or revelation. And so, there is a secret that God has in store to be revealed to humanity, to the Gentiles, through the apostle. The Colossian church had false prophets who brought different mysteries. And indeed, in our own day also, people come with mysteries. But for this church, they came with mysteries. Greek philosophies and speculations combined with Jewish legalism, blowing away their hearers. You can imagine what they will be spewing. Everybody will be dumbfounded. Speculations. Just as we have it today in the church. And false religion always loved and thrived in secrets and mysteries, making others inferior to themselves. Even some people, Christians, do it. Some people have the deep things of God, and only them have it. They know the secrets of holiness. They know the mysteries of faith. They know the secrets of this or that. And then once they come and they are using those big, big words, you just go low and they run over you. But then the question is there any mystery anywhere that we all need to know? Perhaps that will make us want to get interested. What is the secret of God that is hidden from all humanity and is being revealed to a select few? You might wonder to yourself. To understand this, you probably start from Genesis and look at the drama of humanity as God has unfolded it in the Bible. Right from the garden, since the fall, God has planned something. Adam and Eve fell, and just after the fall, humanity that was made for glory, made for splendor, to display the glory of God, fell short and was condemned. Man became hopeless and helpless. But God in his mercy started to unveil a plan that he had planned before even creating man. The plan to save man. But then this plan was shrouded in some kind of mysteries. Genesis 3 verse 15, the Lord first introduced it by saying that he will put enmity between the woman and serpent, and that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise the heel of the son. But it's not too clear. Something is hidden in that message. And so God moved, and then Abraham was the next. And the message became a bit clearer with Abraham. And through him, a nation will come. Through him, God brought hope, a promise of righteousness, blessings for him and his generation. And indeed, all nations will through him be blessed. In Genesis 22 verse 18, the Lord said, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." But that seed was not meant for Jews alone. But then, I'm sure they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Of course, in Galatians 3, the apostle came again to remind the Jewish people and those in that Gentile church that God, foreseeing that the Gentiles will be saved by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham when he said, In you all the nations shall be blessed. And so Abraham shall be the father of faith. But then only the Jews got this at this time. They had hope. For the Gentiles, it was not clear. So Israel moved from one place to the other, carrying the promise. And the Gentiles were left in darkness, in oblivion. Me and you, our great grandfathers, were left out of the party. It remained a mystery. It remained a secret. We became Gentiles who were without hope in this world, without God. And even though God had a plan for us, hinted at in Abraham, very few understood it. And God kept coming. And you see again in Galatians 3, God, Apostle Paul again explained to show to them that this seed is Christ. And in that Christ, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Let me read Galatians 3, verse 16 to 18 to you. Please follow me, because we need to understand the genesis of this whole mystery. And so we can clear our mind of what mysteries are and all that. Now to Abraham, Genesis 3, verse 16. No, sorry, Galatians, sorry. Galatians 3, from 16 to 18. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promises made. He does not say unto seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance of the is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So right from the get-go, God had one plan for everyone. That plan is Christ. But he kept it in secret from ages to ages. And then at this point, revealed to the apostles. And even at that, before they started revealing it, God had been hinting at it. And that's why if you read the Gospels and see the Old Testament, throughout Christ's lineage, he keeps bringing, once in a while, a Gentile to be part of his lineage. Rahab, a prostitute, from nowhere, came to that lineage. Ruth, from nowhere, joined that lineage. And God was pointing to people, making people understand it bit by bit, the secrets that he was to reveal. But the Jews were the one who had the full detail for themselves. I know what they did. They personalized the Savior. They called us sinners, Gentiles, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. But even them that had this truth, couldn't do anything good with it. The Lord came to his own, the Jewish people. Now, even though they knew they were expecting the Messiah, they did not recognize him. They rejected him. He was despised and forsaken by them. A man of sorrow, filled with grief. Even though they knew. The high priest said it. It's one man must die for the nation. Nicodemus came and said, "We know you are from God." Peter openly said, "Thou art the Christ." And yet, they still did not follow him through and through, except for when he came to help them. Pilate, a Gentile, was afraid to kill him. He found ways, but the cries of the Jewish crowd made him succumb to their wish. The Jewish people who thought they had this Messiah were the ones that finally crucified him. And yet, we Gentile world are left with no hope. But you see, in the middle of this, God kept on showing people about the plan. In Luke 2, Simon, when the Lord was brought to the temple, and saw the Lord, said something remarkable. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and you see what Simon said. In the face of all the rejection, the fears, the confusion, Simon saw this baby. I knew something was about this baby. From verse 25 of Luke 2, Simon said, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed the Lord and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, But look at verse 32. He liked to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. He knew Christ was Israel's consolation, but he saw beyond Israel. He knew that Christ was the hope of Gentiles too. Gentiles like me and you. The secret of God started to unfold from there on. I remember when the Lord would go to the cross, when the Greeks came and said, I will see Jesus. The Lord said, now my time is up. The drama has fully unfolded. My brother, my sister, there is no secret anywhere anymore. The mysteries of God has been revealed to man. And it's one man, Christ. And all the ages been kept using figures, seed, branch, different words to describe him. But fully, he has been revealed to us. When Peter was to be sent to Cornelius, God knew he would struggle. He had to show him a vision to show that these guys are part of the plan. The Gentiles, me and you, in Act 10, are part of the plan. Beloved, there is no mystery outside of Christ. That's where I'm going with all my stories. No mysteries outside of Christ. In our day, people promise revelations, third heavens, fifth dimensions, seventh dimension, all seeking access to the mysteries of Christ. Men of God intimidating people. And sometimes we pastors are guilty. Make you look as if there's something extraordinary. Big reformed word, jargons. I've been told in seminary that if you want to make something simple look really grand, use big words. But there's no mystery outside of Christ. No secret. No secret outside of Christ. God has revealed to us his plan. Nothing else to be disclosed. Christ is the secret. He is the plan that has been kept before the foundation of the world. Christ is God's last word. Christ is God's only word. He is the wisdom of God. Let no one deceive you with big revelations and mysteries. Let no one deceive you with big theological jargons or grammar that do not lead to Christ or show you the need for Christ. Christ is the mystery. He is Israel's salvation and yet the hope of Gentiles. He's our light and our hope. He's the mystery that has been hidden since ages past. He's the only thing or only person that you need to know. Some of us think we are missing out of thing in life. We are missing out of this or that in life. If you know Christ, you are missing nothing. For outside of him, there's nothing out there. Nothing. Let me show you a verse to help you to see. And Ephesians, Thessalonians, they are all over the Bible describing these mysteries. And I'm saying this because you will truly blame yourself and weep in agony if you walk away from the Lord, or even you are not growing spiritually. It won't be anybody's fault. You can't even blame a pastor that speaks big grammar. Look at Ephesians 3. And see what the apostle said from 3 to 6. And I will take my time and read these verses to you. So we can see what the apostle Paul was saying in Colossians. He said here also. Let me read from verse 4. For by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages were not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostle and prophet, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Romans 16, verse 25 and 26. Romans 16, verse 25 and 26. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Ephesians 1. Don't read this one. I'll just read it out. Same thing. And there are tons of scriptures. It says from verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heavens and which are on earth in him. Sometimes we think there's something out there apart from the Lord. Sometimes you even wonder to yourself, what is the plan of God for your life? What are secret things that you do not know? Look no further. Christ is God's plan for your life. He's the secret you need to know. And I'm here this morning like a salesman or a marketer trying to just, and how will I woo you? I've searched and searched, because when I got to this verse that has to do the mystery, I said, what are the mysteries? And Google, or I said, take your concordance and look at all the word mystery in the Bible. All comes here. One man. So, see me as like a salesman, a marketer, trying to beg you to display before you the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing out there. Nothing. No secret whatsoever. Whether you are in Nigeria, whether you're in the U.S., whether you're in a hole or in a box, there's only one thing that we need to know in our life. Christ. And so the apostle in Colossians 1, 26 and 27 had to say, see, I had to become nothing so I can show you this mystery. I had to become nothing. Small. Because Christ in you is the only hope that you have. And so in verse 28 of Colossians 1, he now said, him we preach, because see, there is nothing else to tell you. This is the mystery of God revealed. This is the man. So who do I preach? Him. We don't force you to preach Christ. He's the only message. There's nothing else to preach. Nothing. 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 And this affects both believers and unbelievers. We are on the table. They are here. We are here. We all have a common denominator, Christ. For those who are saved, and you know what you struggle with, this new life in Christ, you ask yourself, how can I be consistent? You want to know the secret of godliness. As it happened to you, I've asked myself, what does it mean to be holy? I want to be consistently walking in a holy, in a godly life. After saying that I have been saved, I sought to know the secret of holiness, of godliness. I struggled week in, week out, asking myself, go to some camps, you pray, you fast, and yet it's in the Bible that Christ is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. The mystery, his incarnation. Incarnation means him coming as man. It's the mystery. The secret of godliness is Christ as a man. He's the example, the model of godliness. It's not only the example, he gives the grace and the strength to be godly. He's the one to know. He's the one to follow. He's the one to emulate. He's the image of a perfect godly man because he is the image of God. The apostle said in 2 Corinthians 3 that we are supposed to behold him with unveiled faces as in the mirror, and he will transform us to the image of his from glory to glory. And so, as believers, we are seeking the mystery of godliness. We want to walk holy and righteous. We want to please the Lord. And you have fasted, you have prayed, you are, yes, those things do, but do in Christ, with Christ in your face. You must get acquainted with him. Without me, he said in John 15 verse 4, can do nothing. And so you turn to him daily. There is no secret anywhere. When you fall, stand up. Nobody can help you except the preacher is a false preacher. No one. It's still the man. If you read Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian was running, and running away from the arrows of Beelzebub, and he got to the door of mercy, and he knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked. Mercy was not opening. Arrows were coming. But he has no plan B, so he knocked and knocked and he fainted. And then mercy opened the door and dragged him in. Sometimes that's what we need to do with him. But there's no plan B. There's no secret anywhere. You see a man or a woman in church you admire because they are holy. There's no secret. Christ is the mystery of godliness. Look for him. Let him mystify this thing. And so we start to work after him. Gaze at him daily. When you look at your Bible, you read 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel, you see David, look for the Lord in his face. Speak to him. Let him be your standard. Pray to him. Let him be your friend. Love him. Cherish him. Let your affection be for him. Is your only hope for godliness. Is the secret of godliness. Fasting, praying, obeying the laws of God are useless without him. And so you do them with him in view. And for unbelievers, you should be more bothered, you know. For those of you, some of you are even here, you may not even say you are an unbeliever, but perhaps when we talk about this mystery, you start to evaluate yourself. How much of him do you know? Maybe you don't even care about the things of God, of Christ. So this morning, I took my time to tell you the story of the first 10 minutes so you can see that there is no hope. I started from Genesis to Abraham's life down. You are going nowhere. There's only one plan from God and affect all of us. God has only one program, and if you move away from that program, you are done for. Only one plan, and so it would be unwise for you not to be interested. The whole of creation, the whole drama of creation ends here. No other secrets, no other life. And so if you're not interested in Christ, you are dead. Do you know what God has in store for you? You can only find the answer in Christ. How will you stand before him if you have ignored him all day? Remember those guys in Matthew 7? I never knew you. The Lord did not deny their works. They might be philanthropists. Whatever you think they are, they had no connection with the only thing that matters, the only person that matters in the world. And Lord said to them, I never knew you. Our Lord, our God in heaven, has a plan to display his mercy to sinners like me and you. Pray for you do not know him. You who trivialize the things of Christ, sisters, brothers, there's only one plan. You're wasting time. He's planned to show mercy without restriction. You know, if you read Romans 9, a lot of people read Romans 9, 22 down, and they all see election. But you don't look at the mercy part. Romans 9. I read from verse 23. See what the Lord said. So I just skip. Let me read from 22 so that I don't skip the judgment part. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make known his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of his mercy, which he had prepared before for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And see where my heart started to melt in verse 25. As it says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people. That's the plan of God for you. And beloved, who is not beloved? You hating him, he's planning to love you. And shall come to pass in the place where it is said of them, you are not my people. They shall be called sons of the living God. Will you turn away from this? I mean, this is a promise. You have not even been, you are not born by this time. And all of this, he has planned and will actualize in his son. It is for his sake that you, an outcast, will be called his own. So I plead with you, if you do not know him, and I'm going to bunch you with those who just walk into church and walk out, nothing to show for years in church, are chasing what? Can you stand in the days of his anger? Because there are always two plans. Plan A, plan B. The plan A, only one plan, to save. Second is to judge. Christ is the mystery, the only secret, and has been unraveled, shown to the world to see. For you who do not know him, it's time to come. So he is the mystery of godliness, of salvation, the plan of God to redeem. But my text says he's the mystery of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the point of Colossians 1, verse 27. The mystery of glory that we expect in future, or even now, is still in Christ. And this hits home to me, and I'm sure all of you, as you start to apply it to yourselves. For we all have hopes and expectations. The word hope here actually means expectations. We all have hopes and expectations as human beings. But then at the fall, all our hopes became rubbished. All the plans we have, everything good that can come out of your life came under a curse at the fall. Our hopes and aspirations were dashed when we fell in Adam. And as Ephesians 2 said, we became people without hope, without God in this world. And because we have no more God, no hope, we are left to ourselves. And so we start to turn our aspirations and our expectations on the fashion of the world, the educational system, the cultural practices, the entertainment. This has formed people's hope and aspirations. You go to school to earn degrees, and all your hope and plans is to be this and that and that. You want to look beautiful so you can show and slay. Sit down and ask yourselves, what are your expectations in life? These are determining and shaping our lives, our lifestyles. We have no more hope because we've been cut off from God. But as human beings, we've been created for glory. And the word glory here is a dignity and honor, because we bear the image of God. Even though we lost it in Adam, we still have small. And this has become the fight. And if you see, as I read there, Solomon, having gotten all things, tried it out and said, let me set out. I have the wisdom. I have the money. And so he went out and got for himself everything me and you are chasing today, times a billion. All our expectations, a good house, a good home, children, wives, clothes, cars, he got them all. But then summed it up to his what? Vanity. That is the hope of man outside of Christ. And even if you are in Christ and you are still chasing those things, you are chasing the winds. The secrets of glory, of fulfillment. But that's what this text means. The hope of fulfillment in life is Christ in you. Solomon went on our own, built houses, had servants. Nothing in this world can meet our expectations. God has put in our heart eternity. Nothing can fill it. Nothing. The fashion of this world, our educational system, entertainment, none of these can meet our hopes and expectations. This system is cut off from God and can offer nothing. God will not bless. And the world in a billion years cannot offer you satisfaction. In a billion years. Bring in all the technologies. Let them improve everything. It gives more trouble. No new food. No new dance. No new fashion. Not even marrying the prettiest lady or the most handsome guy can meet your hope and satisfaction. Yet, by nature, we have expectations. Yet, by nature, we have hopes. How then do we fill this gap? What is the secret? The apostle said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory here and glory to come. But it starts here. It starts here. We have to be glorified. It starts now. And the Bible has all that we have as hope. I hope we will turn our minds once in a while and just ask questions. Most of us are married here. Where is satisfaction? We have houses. We have cars. You have maids. Sometimes the food start to give you pot bellies or you start having ailment. Can't you see, can't we learn that there's no glory in anything here? Christ is our only hope. This is the secret God is revealing in Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All our hopes, all our expectations are met in Christ. Christ has come to restore to us our expectation and our hope for glory. So our hope here and our hope world to come. Let me just round up by saying this. As our hope here, the Lord Jesus Christ gives peace and joy. Peace and joy that nothing can meet. And you see, if you look at us carefully, we do what we do just for peace and joy. We just want some calmness. We want peace. We want tranquility of our soul. Some people just want to get married because they think marriage brings peace. Some just want a child because the child will bring some joy and some fulfillment or a job. Christ in you, the hope of any glory you seek. He has said that we have troubles in this world and in him we have peace. He's our hope. There are hope for peace. Peace in our homes. Peace in our marriages. Brothers, we are in this together. We work hard every day in all the troubles in our country. We come home tired, sometimes grumpy. And we are tempted to snap at our wives. We are frustrated for our economy, especially if you are on Twitter. You are in trouble. The beatified are tweeting. The obedient are tweeting. There's no light. And you are angry. Your problem is not Nigeria, or the job, or the traffic, or the wife, or your wife. Your problem is your expectations. You want some satisfaction. I don't know if you deserve it because you don't deserve anything though. I too. But we want some hope of glory, some refreshment. We want some honor, some dignity, some satisfaction, but they are misplaced. We are seeking them in the wrong places. Looking for them in the wrong places. Christ in you is the hope of glory, not your wife. Not Nigeria. Not your country. With Christ in you, you can stay in a hole. You can be at war and you be satisfied. He is the Prince of Peace and will bring his peace to you. Think of Christ daily. Remove away from your heart the troubles of today. And thank God for the Bible study that you started on contentment. Fix your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. That's what he said. Sisters, you desire hope. And I don't envy you guys. You guys are toiling. Good homes. You want a good child, charming prince to marry. And you think once you meet that man in the church, reform, all will be well. Or that job. Or that child, that property, that cloth. You think you have some joy or satisfaction in the world. You think your expectation will be met once you get that which you ask for. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not the plan. The secret of God is not in these things, in those things rather. Look nowhere except to Christ. He is the hope of glory. He is the one that can satisfy your soul. Your husband can't. Your children can't. Only Christ can. He is the hope of glory. He is your shepherd that will make you not lack anything. He will make you lie down in green pastures. He will lead your soul beside still waters. He will restore your soul. He will lead you in the path of righteousness. And even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for he will be always with you. He will apply his rod and his staff. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember, my brother, my sisters, it is Christ in you, not Christ around you, not Christ in the book or in the reformed book. In you. It's personal. You must know him beyond reciting the creeds. Or you are just coming to say you are a member of the church. So you can't tweak. It's not my... I'm a pastor. It's my business a bit, but it's a headache more. I mean, I can't sleep for you. I can't eat for you. I worry, but after I worry, I go and eat at home. But you are the one that will bear the pain and sorrow. Not hell. The ache in your heart. And you know the struggles. You know the depression that you face. Christ in you. Not around you. Not in your church. In you. The hope of glory. But in the world to come, of course, that we know. He is the one that has given us hope for eternity. He has promised us a glorious body. Oh, that rejoices me so much. As I know that I will be like him when he comes. Adam and Eve fell and they became naked and ashamed. But in Christ, we'll be clothed with his righteousness. But not only that, we'll be given his body. The hope we have when we are closing our eyes in death is him. It's him. We will be partakers of the divine nature. We will escape the corruption of the world. Peter said so. And we'll be seated with him in heavenly places. Never again to sin. I do not know about you, but never again to sin. Are you not tired? Today, a resolution, tomorrow you are back. But he is the hope of a new body. A glorious body. Never again to sin. Oh, let me conclude with this thought. There is no mystery anywhere. There is no hidden secret or plan anywhere. All is found in Christ. Whether in this world or in the world to come, the only hope we have is Christ. So hold loosely whatever is not eternal. Hold loosely whatever is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Check your time and say, how much time do you spend to know the most important person to you as a human being? What are you going to do with him for those who do not know him? I just became born again yesterday. You don't spend time with knowing the main thing. So I present him to you this morning. I hope you will not ignore him. You joke with Christ, you joke with your life. There's nobody on earth for you except Christ. Neither is there anyone in heaven for you but Christ. Look to him. Look for him. Search the scriptures for him. And please, when you find him, be like the Shunammite. Never let him go. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing these mysteries to us. So that even a child can know that he has his work cut out for him or her. And you're giving us your word, you're giving us the church, you've raised pastors, deacons, men spreading around who can preach your word. Oh Lord, help us. We know that if this gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whom the God of this world has blinded, that they will not see the glory of God in the face of Christ. Help us, O Lord. Renew in our hearts a new desire, a new hunger to want to know him. Oh, like the Shunammites, when we can't find him, may we cry out, seek and ask the watchman, where is my beloved? For that's our only hope on earth and in heaven. Lord, help us to know that you've unveiled all we need to know. Oh Lord, we pray for your spirit that no matter how much we know in our minds, we struggle to keep a consistent fellowship with him in his word. Help us. You put a new hunger, a renewed vigor to go and after him, to look for him. And when he comes knocking, may we not be lazy. May we open wide the doors of our hearts and fellowship with him in his word. Pray for our children. I do not know if they understand what I've said, but Lord, please bless them. Help them to also cultivate that hunger for Christ. For even them, their young age, have no hope except him. Pray for mothers who labor over them and fathers, that you put the words of Christ in them to share with their children, to hand over to them the gracious possession of theirs, which is Christ. Thank you, merciful Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.